Far Side of the Stars by David Drake, being read in this matter by David Drake. I'm going to read just the front matter. There will be the entire novel read professionally in a little bit, but this is the part in which I'm speaking in my own voice. The dedication for Tristan David Drake. The previous four generations of the family have read voraciously, so I hope he'll carry on the tradition. Acknowledgements. Dan Breen continues as my first reader, making my prose better than it would be without him. Dorothy Day and Evan Ladasur have been addressing specialized continuity problems in this one. And my webmaster, Karen Zimmerman, not only helpfully read my drafts, but also archived them. After you've killed as many computers in the middle of projects as I have, you learn not to take chances. Speaking of which, my son Jonathan got me going again when I did kill a computer. I can't claim to have consciously raised my own techie, but it seems to work very well if you have the time. I'm reminded of the Paleolithic hunters who set their axe heads in split living branches, that so when the wood regrew, it gripped the stone perfectly. Clyde Howard helped research bits of information that I knew I had, but couldn't put my finger on till he'd provided them. My friend Mark Van Neen made an observation that allowed me to write this book, and I expect future books, in a greater state of contentment than ever before. I don't think this makes the prose better, but it's certainly an improvement for me. Writers aren't easy to live with, and I may be more difficult than most. My wife Jo manages, and she feeds me very well besides. My thanks to all of you. Dave Drake, david-drake.com. And the author's note. One of the problems when you're writing of either the past or the future is how much should I translate? I don't mean simply language. There's a whole complex of things that people within any society take for granted, which vary between societies. But language, too. I had somebody complain that the Arthurian soldiers and the Dragon Lord talked like modern soldiers. My reaction to this was that I could write the soldier's dialogue in Latin, but the complainant couldn't read it. And if I'm going to translate into English, why on earth wouldn't I translate into the type of English that the same sort of men speak today? Weights and measures are a particular problem. I don't assume that the world of the far future will use the weights and measures of today, but I'm quite certain that my inventing new systems will do nothing desirable for my story. There are people who are really happier for a glossary of made-up or foreign words. I'm not, though I'll admit I still occasionally murmur to myself, Tarzan Bandolo. In the RCN series, Cinnabar is on the English system, and the Alliance uses metric, simply to suggest the enormous complexity I expect will exist after mankind spreads among the stars. Well, I certainly hope we'll spread among the stars, but I won't pretend I'm sanguine about our chances at this moment. Communications protocols are very roughly based on those of the 2nd Squadron, 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, during the time it was and I was under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Grail Brookshire. There were a lot of stories about squadron and regimental commanding officers. The stories about Battle 6 were all positive. I think I should comment on the background of this novel also. Today, physical travel is easier than ever before, and television takes us literally anywhere. The world is generally accessible to most people, and as a result, it's becoming homogenized. I don't insist that this is a bad thing, but it's a major change from the situation of a generation ago, let alone that of 100 years in the past. In the late 19th century, a party of Russian nobles bought a South Seas trading schooner from its owner captain, hired as captain the former mate, a man named Robert Quinton, and for several years sailed the Pacific, from Alaska to New Zealand, from Kamchatka to Diamond Head. They hunted, bought curios, visited ancient ruins, and viewed native rites in a score of localities. The sort of experience was available only firsthand and only to the exceptionally wealthy, or their associates like Quinton, who wrote a memoir of the voyage. Today, anybody who watches PBS and the Discovery Channel can see everything those aristocrats saw, or at any rate, as many of those things as survive. I've tried as one of the themes of The Far Side of the Stars to give a feel of that former time, when travel was a risky adventure possible only for the few. While I'm glad that many, myself included, can share the world's wonders today, I do regret the passing of the romance of former times and the fact that maps no longer have splotches marked terra incognita. Dave Drake, still at david-drake.com.